Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
I believe unconditionally that the New England Patriots have done nothing inappropriate in this process or in violation of NFL rules. Bill, Tom, and I have had many difficult discussions over the years, and I have never known them to lie to me. And it bothers me greatly that their reputations and integrity, and by association, that of our team, has been called into question this past week. I am confident that this investigation will uncover whatever the facts were that took place last Sunday and the science of how game balls react to changes in the environment. If the Wells investigation is not able to definitively determine that our organization tampered with the air pressure in the footballs, I would expect and hope that the league would apologize to our entire team, and in particular, Coach Belichick and Tom Brady, for what they have had to endure this past week. I am disappointed in the way this entire matter has been handled and reported upon. We expect hard facts as opposed to circumstantial leaked evidence to drive the conclusion of this investigation.
Welcome back, Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690. So, somewhat unexpectedly, much like Bill Belichick Saturday, when he released results of his own science experiment, owner Bob Kraft, when the Patriots arrived at the Super Bowl in Phoenix, he wanted to speak to the media. You just heard what he had to say. So it's gone. It's Belichick, little flare out in the flat to Tom Brady. Tom Brady back to Belichick. Belichick hands it off to owner Bob Kraft, who is now running headlong into NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who appears to be the tackling dummy in this scenario. And that was before today's media day. And what happened to when Bob Kraft and the Patriots went back to their hotel when they checked in? A fire alarm went off at 1:30 in the morning. All right? So everybody knows where the Patriots are staying. How many more fire alarms are going to go off, or have they already changed hotel rooms? Talk about that aspect of the Super Bowl and much more. He's been with us on a regular basis since the postseason with the Seahawks in, of course. Former Alouette, two-time Grey Cup champ, former Seahawk as well. Kerry Carter, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having me again. How are you guys hanging up there?
Oh, it's we're hanging in. You know, we avoided the blizzard like conditions. It's just,
yeah, I'm going to ask about that.
Arctic cold. I'd rather have the Arctic cold than any kind of blizzard and seawalls collapsing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, at least you can get around a bit.
So let me ask you, now that all three, Brady, Belichick, and then in definitive fashion, Bob Kraft last night, do you feel totally comfortable if you're a member of the New England Patriots getting ready to play the game that this has been dealt with and it will not be a distraction for you the rest of the week?
Well, it depends on how you define distraction. You know, I think as a team, those guys will make sure that they're ready to play the game. They'll be able to put that behind them. What Coach Belichick is able to do there, and I've heard this from numerous sources that have, you know, been a part of that organization, from Lawyer Malloy to Damon Hewitt out here. They'll have them ready to play the game. They won't be worried about the whole Deflategate thing and all of that. But in terms of what's going to be out there in the media and what's going to continue to be discussed, until there is some finality to this and some closure post this investigation, I think it's going to remain a topic of conversation, and it's going to remain, you know, an area of real scrutiny for the team. And, you know, I'd be interested to see how things go on game day and how closely, you know, the cameras are following the balls from the time they get into the stadium till, and when they leave the officials till they get to the field. I feel like we'll have somebody on that all the way. So that should be another, you know, interesting point of conversation.
Well, you know, among the many prop bets, how many times how many times Deflategate will get mentioned in the broadcast of the Super Bowl? The over-under is 2.5. If I was a betting man, I'd go over.
Oh, 2.5?
Yep.
Yeah, I'd go over. Is that in Vegas right now? Is that a line?
Yeah, it's a real line. It's out there.
Wow. Yeah, I might have to go over on that one for
what,
sure.
What I'm still struggling to understand here is who is this damaging? These allegations. If you're saying they damage the New England Patriots reputation, they don't give a bleeping bleep. They could care less as long as they continue to make the playoffs and own the AFC East and get to Super Bowls. They don't care. And internally, Kerry, you know coaches block this stuff out, and they focus on making every game its own season, and no one does that better than the Patriots.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right with that. What they're able to do inside of that organization, what they have been able to do over these past 15 years has been tremendous. It's the standard right now. It's what the Seahawks are hoping to get to in terms of establishing themselves as kind of a go-to and a model organization from top to bottom, and how they, you know, how they treat their players, how they reward their players, how they hold on to players, and they keep on winning. So in the end, that's all they care about. And if they continue to win, this little black mark will be null and void for them. They're going to continue to live on the edge. They're going to continue to look for ways to kind of circumvent not the rules, but just, you know, live on that edge a little bit, to where, you know, they'll do new formations and different takes on, you know, on how they set up and how they change their character from game to game, where they keep you on your toes. So this is going to be no different. I think they're going to be ready to play this game. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be, you know, a hard fought battle, and I'm looking forward to it. I just, you know, hearing a lot of this stuff is almost more distracting for me as a fan. You know, I would rather hear about more of the technical aspects of how people think they're going to attack the Seahawks and what they're going to take away, if it's going to be Marshawn or if they're going to try to take away Russell's scrambling ability. That's more of interest for me.
So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer. So I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
There's a highlight of Marshawn Lynch's activities verbally at Media Day today, Kerry.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all you're going to get out of him right now.
If you, well, you know him. You know him certainly better than most. If you could actually get into his brain and extrapolate his thoughts heading into the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, what do you think he would say about this matchup?
And he is really a very focused kind of one-track mind guy. And when it comes to the game, he is really thinking about, what do I need to do to put my best out there? He's great with his teammates, and they love and respect him. And so I think from his perspective of being a running back, is how do you make the most impact? How do you make sure that, you know, when his presence is felt, when he's out on the field, what he's able to do for the energy of that team? And I think he knows this. I think he knows that he's a catalyst for this organization and for this team, because when he's out there and he makes a run, or he busts through that hole, or he does what he turns that beast mode on, it's not just him, it's not just the offense, it's not just the fan, but you look on the bench and you see Richard Sherman get up, you see, you know, Bobby Wagner get up, you see Earl excited, you see everybody on that bench up watching him and watching the offense, because it takes him into another mode, you know. So what he's able to do, he's the key in my interpretation. He's the key to this entire game for them. He's the key to what they're going to do on offense, how they're going to move, and how their energy is going to be early on in this game. And if they can get him established and that run game established, it kind of causes this wave effect. And, you know, where that goes, that leads into the defensive side, and it gives them a lot of momentum.
Do you have a specific number in mind in terms of, if Marshawn Lynch carries the ball X number of times for X number of yards, then they're in good shape to win this?
You know, it's been interesting watching the last few weeks, because leading into the last few weeks of the season, they started, you know, giving Turbin and Christian Michael the ball early, and then Marshawn would kind of take over second quarter, third quarter, and then get the bulk of his carries later in the game when they're up. But I think for this game, I would like to see him get a good amount of touches early. You know, I'd say, you know, 10 to 12 touches in the first half, whether, you know, that's a combination of runs and, you know, screens and getting them out of the backfield. But I think if they can get them to that amount, then they're able to kind of control the clock a little bit, keep the Patriots offense off of the field. And then in the second half, that's where he gets the bulk of his carries. So if we can get, you know, 23, 24 carries around there, maybe 4 or 5 receptions, I think that would be success for this team and for him.
25 to 30 touches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interestingly, Kerry, as you know, the last time these two teams played, and look, it was 2.5 years ago. It's not like it was 3 weeks ago. They basically gave up on Marshawn Lynch because New England loaded the box. They sold out to stop him, and he was held to 41 yards on 15 carries. Now, I don't expect the New England Patriots to come with the exact same game plan as they did 2.5 years ago, but you would think, just watching the NFL, that would be the approach to shut down Lynch, as you say, the catalyst of their offense.
Yeah, I think in terms of how other teams have approached this, who've had success against the Seahawks offense, that's what they've done. You know, they've tried to take away Marshawn, especially early on. And I think the Patriots will take that same approach because it's not just about the run game, but it's also what it does in terms of setting up the play action and then moving Ruffalo out of the pocket and whatnot. That run game is the start of all of that. So if they're able to slow him down, you know, then the Seahawks have to go to Russell in a different element right away. So it's not going to be off the play action. It might have to be off the quick pass game, or they're going to have to move the pocket, or he's going to have to, you know, early on look for some scrambling opportunities, you know, if his receivers aren't getting open early. So, yeah, I think that is going to be the approach that they take, and it'll be interesting to see. I think we'll see it early on whether or not they're really going to stack that box, and I think they're going to have to try to do that.
Finishing up with Kerry Carter, Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690. Hockey Talk with Pierre McGuire in Washington, a little after 5.
Does Scott think you're the best corner in the league, though? You've said that.
I mean, I don't really answer preschool questions, so you improve your line of questioning, and then we'll talk.
Richard Sherman when asked if he thought he was the best corner in the NFL. So, at the end of the game of Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, Arizona on Sunday, will there be any debate? You think Revis can play a role in a New England win over Seattle, and there might be actually be a discussion that he might actually have company in that department, or what?
Oh, man, I have nothing but the utmost respect for Revis and what he's been able to do over and sustain over his career, and even coming back from injury. So I definitely think he'll play an integral role in this. But, you know, they're scheme-wise, you know, you give both these coaches a couple weeks to scheme and really put a plan together. I don't think either side is going to try to pick on any one of those guys a lot. I don't think Brady's going to try to pick on Sherman. I don't think Russell's going to intentionally try to pick on Revis, but it will come in the flow of the game. I definitely think Revis can have an effect on this game because of the way he studies, and it's on both sides. You know, I think both of those guys are true students of the game, and they study route combinations. They play each play differently based on, you know, the formation, and sometimes they're looking in, sometimes they're not looking at the receiver at all. And we saw that a couple games ago with Sherm, you know, with his eye squarely in on the quarterback and being able to jump a route. You know, Revis does the same thing, and I'm sure Sherm has looked at him over the years, as well as any of the great ones do. They study other great ones, so I know he has a lot of respect for him. And their battle and on social media and all that is fun, but in the end, I think, you know, they know that it's a game recognized game, and they're both excellent at what they do.
Now, Kerry, when you look at the individual matchups in a 3rd-and-7 situation, most NFL teams, you can identify where the quarterback's going to the football. You know who the target's going to be. But first, Seattle on offense, when you look at the passing game, you're not really sure who they're going to throw to at 3rd-and-7. So that could change how New England deploys Darrell Revis, could it not?
Yeah, I think it definitely will, because, you know, you're not going to match up against their number one receiver, because I don't think that I guess Doug would be considered their number one receiver, but I don't think that he's necessarily treated that way in terms of how many, you know, targets he gets a game. So it'll be interesting to see, because they have gone so many different routes with that. They've gone to Jermaine Kearse, they've gone to the tight end, You know, they've gone to Marshawn on screen passes, and you never know what role, you know, Russell's going to play in this as well, if they're going to, you know, try to get him out in the running game a little bit and, you know, do the pull the ball early on just to keep them honest. So it's been looked at as an Achilles heel for Seattle in terms of not having a true number one or, you know, really big, fast, strong receivers that are, you know, huge impact players. But when it comes down to targeting and trying to find how they're going to play them, it is a benefit for them because they can go any way. They can go either way with that. So
we will pick up on this X's and O's, nuts and bolts, on-field football conversation about Super Bowl 49 in a couple of days with Kerry Carter. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me, man.
Thank you. Thanks as always, Kerry Carter.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.